morning.
This morning we welcome the students and staff from Zion Lutheran School. The students will be singing for us this morning after the gospel reading. And after gospel reading, I'll invite them forward, and the younger ones will sing first, then the older ones will sing, and then that'll be in place of our children's message this morning, and then everybody will go back and be seated. Let us open our service this morning with the singing of our first hymn, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory."
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, March 8th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Terry Biggs. The opening hymn is number 427, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory," hymn number 427 in the Lutheran Service Book. The Harnicky family is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of John F. Harnicky's birthday on March 3rd. The Schwantz family is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of Carl and Carol Schwantz.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice,
do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness.
When your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading for this, the third Sunday in Lent, from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, beginning at the first verse. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A catechetical review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the first petition?
Hallowed be thy name.
What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's name is kept holy when the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But among whom teaches or lives contrary to God's word, proclaims the name of the Lord among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me some of this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where the people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time, we invite the Zion School students to come forward and as they will be singing for us this morning.
Thank you.
We continue with the singing of the hymn, Glorious Things of You Are Spoken.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 648, Glorious Things of You Are Spoken, hymn number 648 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text for today is the reading from the Gospel of John, Jesus at the well with the woman of Samaria. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there's a reason that this text of Jesus interacting with the Samaritan was caused to be written down by the Holy Spirit. Let's see what some of those reasons could be. First of all, we have Jesus, who is tired and thirsty. Now, that is a good thing to hear. The Son of God is incarnate in the flesh. But at the same time, true God, yes, but true human being at the exact same time. And here we see Jesus in his humiliation. The word of creation is tired and thirsty. Now, perhaps that gives us some comfort to know that Jesus shares in our weaknesses, that he too knows what it is to be tired. He too knows what it is to be thirsty and be parched and in need of something simple like a cup of water. We also look in this text and we see racial and cultural tensions. We're very familiar with those things in our own societies, in our own days. The Samaritans and the Jewish people did not get along. They were ethnically and culturally different people. They were at odds with each other theologically. And Jesus made use of these differences in several biblical accounts. We have the account of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus here would have found it shocking that it was the Samaritan who helped the man who was beaten and left for dead in the road, rather than one of the Jewish men who walked by and didn't give him a hand. And then there were the 10 lepers who were cleansed. And who but a foreigner, a Samaritan, returned to give thanks to God? One of the differences between these two groups of people was a dispute as to where worship would take place. The Samaritans thought that Mount Gerizim was the place, and the Jews said, no, Jerusalem is the place. The place where the temple is, that is the place where you should go to worship God. And Jesus goes on to point out that a time is coming and is now even present when neither will the place of worship be on the mountain or in Jerusalem, but the believers will worship God in truth and purity and in spirit. And Jesus is basically saying, look, I am going to be the temple. Where I am is where worship takes place. Where I am is where heaven meets earth. And those who worship Jesus, fully trusting him for forgiveness, will be justified by faith. So too we here this morning worship Jesus and receive from him his gifts. Then there is the discourse on living water. So what's up with that? Well, clearly Jesus is talking about the spiritual refreshment, and it took the woman some time to figure out that Jesus wasn't speaking of physical water, but that he was speaking of a spiritual water. It's like when he stood up on the last day of the Feast of Booths there in Jerusalem. And as the people remembered their living in tents during the wilderness wandering, he stood up and he said what the Bible records. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living water. There is much to be made of this living water. And then at the end of the text, there is the very astute, and apparently this very astute and a very thoughtful woman said to Jesus, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will teach us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who am speaking to you am he. Jesus blatantly tells us this morning that he is the Messiah, the promised one of God. Jesus is letting the people know that salvation has come among them. And yet, salvation is not going to appear in the way that they had anticipated. Yeah, there is a lot here, and even more than what I just mentioned. But what sticks out to me this morning, and as I looked this week at what that thing that sticks out or jumped out at me, was the bluntness with which Jesus spoke to this woman. And he interacted with her. And I read that, and I'm looking at that, and I said, this is why I don't ever ask, what would Jesus do? Right? Jesus knew the woman. He knew her life. In his omniscience, he knew everything about her. He knew who she was and all of her life. I can barely imagine confronting someone with their sin in such a way, because I know myself as a sinful human being. I know my own sin. And it would be very difficult for me to be going around saying to someone, you've got 5 husbands and you're practicing serial monogamy. And the guy you're shacking up with now, he isn't your husband. Well, okay. Neither can I imagine the person I'm talking to not getting outraged and storming off instead, rather calmly saying, oh, I see that you're a prophet. Oh my God. You know, anytime I've had to mention to somebody's sin to them, you know, in a private conversation, they have never looked at me and said, I see that you're a prophet. Right? No, there is a pushback. Nobody likes to have their sin called out. Nobody likes to be told that there's, oh, I'm sure it's just fine in the confession of sins, in the general confession, when we're all standing here shoulder to shoulder and we're saying, I am a poor, miserable sinner, and we can look left and right, front and back, and know for a fact that the person surrounding us are also saying the same thing, that they too have sinned against God. But it's a much different thing to have your sin called out to you, to your face, there by yourself, right? I can't imagine going to somebody and looking at them and say, you beat your wife because you're an insecure in your own skin, and instead of standing up for the defenseless, you put them down. Oh, I see that you're very perceptive, Pastor. I want to hear more of what you have to say, right? There are times, yes, to confront someone with their sin, and it needs to be done. But that they would, but what they would say and stay and carry on a conversation with Jesus, I find that to be very shocking. What wouldn't be shocking to me is someone saying, where do you get off? Who do you think you are, Mr. Perfect, Mr. Holier Than Thou? I'll bet next to your suits in your closet are a bunch of skeletons. Well, they'd be right. I'd have to admit that they'd be right on that fact. So I'd have to face someone with the Word of God. Yes, you can dispute with me, but what does the Word of God have to say on the issue? What does the Word of God have to say about your lust for money or your lust for possessions? Have you looked at the rich young ruler lately? Have you read that account in the Holy Scripture? Or have you read the account of the parable of the prodigal son? You see, Pastor Thompson being that blunt is one thing. Letting God's Word speak for itself is really quite something different. For when we each face the Word of God, we are faced with that which is infallible and unassailable. In the Word of God, we find that which strips away all the protective layers that we've covered ourselves with and our consciences with. We find that which accuses us of our own sin, and that which we can try and run from, but ultimately we can't. So what is the question? What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what Jesus would do. In His omnipotence, He would know just what to say. He would have no guesswork. He would know His hearer's personality and speak accordingly to elicit the reaction that is needed. Jesus would have no fear, for He had no sin to be pointed out. There are no skeletons in Jesus' closet, no search history in an incognito mode for Jesus, and no fear that the spam email claiming to have recorded you through your computer's camera really did catch you in a compromising position. You see, Jesus can confront without fear. Still, there is something else. We must use the Word of God. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. He is the one who speaks the truth of the law. As the woman said to Him, I perceive that you are a prophet. And what was the prophet's call? It was a call of the prophet to expose sin. Not only to expose sin, but to point out where forgiveness is to be found. So where can this woman find forgiveness? She asks the question. She listens to what He said. He has spoken the law to her, and she wants to know where forgiveness is. You say in Jerusalem is the place where forgiveness is to be found. We say it's here on the mountain in Samaria is where forgiveness is to be found. And Jesus answers her exactly of where He is the very place where heaven meets earth. Where Jesus is the place where you meet God. Where Jesus is where you worship God. Where Jesus is exactly where the Word of God is. And there will be a day, and perhaps you've had this, where Jesus will confront you with your sin, and you will be stripped of all your pretenses and laid bare before the Almighty God, and the fig leaves of our excuses won't hold up before Him. And when we are convinced and convicted and condemned by the law, Just where do we turn to for forgiveness in life? We turn to the Word of God. And the Word of God in the flesh is Jesus. He gives us Himself in the sacrament of the altar. When He comes to us in His body and blood in the bread and wine, He comes to us and He says, "Here is me for you." He says, "Here I am, my body, my blood, for every lost temper, for every lie, for every greedy thought, for every time we have attempted to sit on the throne of God and have broken the first commandment by making ourselves out to be God. We turn to find Jesus, who is the Word made flesh for us. It is He who was thirsty at the well, and it is He who said from the cross, "I thirst." It is He who is the water of life and the giver of life-giving water, the elixir of forgiveness, that in the desert of our regret and sadness, we find new hope and new trust and new life in one particular man. And that one particular man is Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Christ, the promised one to come. And in Him, and in that Jesus, we find life and life everlasting. In Christ's holy name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us now all rise to confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, You have overcome all that divides us and shown us that where You are, there is the temple of God. By the Holy Spirit, faith has been created in us through the waters of baptism. Keep us then in the true faith, so that in all things and through all our days we may remain yours forever, neither losing our faith or rejecting your word. Through the one holy Christian faith, bring all people to be one in you, and that we each may love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Blessed Lord, hear our prayers for Jameson and Jackson Bright, who will later this morning be welcomed into your family and your kingdom through the sacrament of holy baptism. Keep these two boys safe from the attacks of the devil and from the deceptions of the wicked world, that in the holy ark of the church they may come at last to the safe harbor of their heavenly home, rejoicing in the glory of life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Triune God, we thank You that You have seen fit to secure in our midst that nursery of the church, the Christian Day School. Thank You for blessing us with 50 years of our school, and thank You for all those individuals who give of their time and their talents to secure our school among us and to help us keep Your word central to that which we teach and how we live in our families. Grant our congregation the grace to serve our community for at least another half century. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
In your mercy, O God, you have seen fit to call the soul of Verna Mason to your heavenly throne room, there to reside with all the company of heaven until the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Comfort all those who grieve over Verna's death, and grant that they may find their confidence and consolation in the mercy, forgiveness, and grace of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that in their grief they might look to the cross and find their faith strengthened. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Hear our prayers for all who cry out to you as they struggle in this world. We especially pray for Shirley Jordan's daughter and her family as they recover from a house fire. Thank you, Lord, that the family is safe and healthy, and that though it may take a while, they will be able to rebuild or replace their home. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Father in heaven, as our nation is once again engaged in combat overseas, we ask that our service members be kept safe and secure from harm and danger. We pray for all of our political leaders, that they would be able to shed partisan division and unite to make wise and informed decisions for the welfare of our people and the security of our borders. Grant wisdom to our leaders that when they must use the sword, they do so in justice and for the defense of our land. Please, O Lord, swiftly bring an end to the conflict we now face and bring peace to our world. In Jesus' name we implore all these things. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise for the singing of the offertory. remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 535, How Wide the Love of Christ. Hymn number 535 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. I've got a couple extra announcements. First of all, thank you for the students who are singing this morning. We greatly appreciate your bringing your family here to sing for us, and we invite you over to the auditorium for a coffee hour put on by the school PTL, and I invite you to attend Sunday school and then come back and sing right before the beginning of second service this morning. Also, we have youth group activities this afternoon. It's at the school today from 3 to 4:45. Bring your Nerf guns. And so we'll plunk each other with Nerf guns out there at school and have a good time doing it. You know, it's all fun and games till somebody puts their eye put out, but that's all right. Remember, when we're out at school, We don't bring snacks or extra drinks. You're welcome to bring a water bottle to drink water out of, but no other drinks or snacks than the water bottle. And that, again, is from 3 to 4:45 out at school this afternoon. And I believe Mrs. Rach has an announcement about music trivia. Yes, that would be awesome.
Good morning, everyone. Just want to remind that this Saturday is music trivia night at the American Legion Hall. This is our last challenge committee fundraiser for the year. The doors open at 6, and trivia goes from 7 until 9 o'clock. There's also several games in between in addition to trivia. It's okay if music's not your jam. We just enjoy you being there, so we hope that you would come and be a part of it, even if you can't answer a lot of questions. I think everyone finds that it's a really great time. You can bring your own food. Everything is decorated green for St. Patrick's Day, so it's kind of a built-in party. You just need to bring your friends. All of the information's on the back. We're still looking to add 3 to 4 to maybe even 7 more teams to fill up all of the space that we have. So if you're interested, please look at the back. You can email Jody Merritt your team commitment so we know to count on you. If you cannot join us but you would like to still support the efforts, I want to encourage you today to go see Mrs. Thompson out in the hall for the Raise Right gift cards. For several years, our church members have purchased gift cards, your choice on what you want to purchase, and we put them all together as one of the baskets for one of the prizes that we do during the event. So support music trivia, whether you can go or not, by heading over there and buying some gift cards. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.